Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So this morning, again, we've had a lot going on this morning. Testimony, vision sharing, honor the grads, announcements, all these different things. So I did already plan. We had that stuff pre-planned. Not the vision sharing. That was not pre-planned. This is New Life. Not going to make that joke. Okay. So I planned for this to be kind of a little bit of a shorter devotional, but I want it to have impact. And it's a little bit more of a teaching this morning, though who knows? My volume just goes up naturally sometimes when I'm excited, and even in teaching, I can feel a little excited. So we're going to talk about something this morning that I think is very important, and it ties into a few different things, but really, the root of this is your identity and your purpose, but specifically as a man and a woman. Because the world likes to take these things and corrupt the things God made. And I think in our culture, what has happened is it's gotten polluted. And no, I'm not just talking about the alphabet soup out there, okay? The LGBTQ, okay. I'm not just talking about the alphabet soup. I'm talking about genuinely as a man and a woman, okay? Who you are, how you were designed to be, because it's crept into the church. It's crept into the church. The feminism, the misogyny, and the two warring things, and how the world wants to take God's word, take it out of context, twist it, manipulate it as a weapon against you. That's what they want to do. They want to take this out of context and take it and use it as a weapon. God's word is never outdated. There are things in the word that are prescriptions and descriptions, yes. All right? Things that are described in God's word and then things that are prescriptions to live by. Yes. Okay? There's some stories in the Old Testament that, no, I don't think God's telling us to live that way. Okay? Although, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the man who got made fun of for being bald by these kids. Spoiler alert, a bear comes out of the hill and kills the kids. Okay, anyway. See, I don't think that's prescriptive, though the bald people in here said amen. No, just kidding. Hey, I might have my day. I might have my day. Who knows? But really, when we look at this, so I want to start with Genesis chapter 1. I think this is something that we hear of and we know, but 26 through 28, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit, kind of join it together. God created man, created them in his image, okay? Male and female, he created them. And so we're not confused. Yes, there are only two genders, but that's not the point of this message, okay? What we need to look at and take away from this is both were created in the image of God. Because one of the biggest lies talked about when it comes man and woman is that the woman is inferior to the man. And that's not the case. That's not true. And God's word is very clear on that. And we're going to talk about submission. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's a touchy topic. But we'll get to it. It's not the point of the message, and I'm not just talking about it. And I don't want to just talk about man and woman in the context of marriage. I'm talking about you as a woman and a man and how that does play into marriage, but individually you have a purpose and identity, okay? In Genesis 2:18, it says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Cool. But see, this is one of those verses that quickly gets taken out of context. A helper feels like an inferiority thing. You're just my helper. Well, remember, the Bible wasn't written in English, okay? The word helper in the original language is, I'm going to do my best to pronounce it. Should have looked it up before this, how to pronounce it, but Ezer, or Ezer, E-Z-E-R. Do you know that that word, yes, in the original means helper, but even more detailed, it means a strong rescuing force? And did you know that God was described with that word multiple times when he helped Israel? So tell me that word's inferior again. Tell me how that is inferior again. If God is described that way, remember, because you're both made in the image of God. It's incredible. I always love when you dive deep and you're like, oh, God already knew this was going to be a thing. Oh, Genesis chapter 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, this is tying into marriage, right? But understand, for this to happen, it's almost like being born again. Because when we're born into this world, right, we're born into sin. That's about the only guarantee we got. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Okay? Death, taxes, and sin. All right? That's reality. Okay? Which is why there's a whole New Testament teaching about being born again. Because to be born again in Jesus Christ, we are not born in sin any longer. And what happens when you are born? You're usually named. You're usually named. Jesus wants to rename you, not as sinner, but as child of God. And so when we are joined together, man and woman, becoming one flesh, it's similar to this born again principle. Joining together of two people. See, if we deny to change, because the born again process requires change. If we deny the change, this is the way that I am. I was born this way. I am what I am. Then you are denying and refusing to be born again. You are completely negating the teaching of Jesus. You are at enmity with God. You are denying his power. You are denying what he's called you to do. You are idolizing yourself, your hurt, your trauma, because you're allowing that to shape you. I am who I am because of, instead of, I can be who God's called me to be because of Jesus. So we have to say, I am who I am. I am the way that I am. Sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, but that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like a little bit. See, now if we get to a little bit more of the individual, when we look at men, who men are called to be. In Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Leadership, right? Because the head of the household, scripture talks about this too, head of the household. And understand, even if you're not married today, this you still need to pay attention. Head of the household, the leader. But don't get it confused, pal. Leadership through sacrifice. Not domination. Respect me. Do you not respect me? You're not listening to me. I said, and it goes. Don't lie. Don't pretend. We're going to survey the wives after this, and we'll get the truth. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. But that, I want you to know something. God called you to be the head of the household, not the dictator. And if you've been doing that leadership style, you're doing it outside of God's instruction. And there's a good reason why your household might not be working right. And just because your household might be working right doesn't mean it's godly. You can go through this life and not have a lot of problems, but you're not going to heaven. There's a right way, a wrong way, and God's way. We as Christians choose God's way. It should be the only way, but I guess speaking from the cultural perspective, men are called to protect and nourish and lead spiritually, but this comes through sacrifice. Through sacrifice. Culture likes to define manhood and masculinity through power. There's some truth to that. But really, if you look at Scripture and what God teaches, how strong you are as a man is how good you are at surrendering. And that, by this world standards, is not manly. How well can you surrender to God? Live for Him. Submit to Him. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Again, kind of paraphrase a little bit so I keep moving, but be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. See, strength matters, absolutely. But other places in Scripture talk about physical fitness profits a man little, righteousness profits him all the time. And to understand strength without love, strength without sacrifice, strength without humility, you aren't a leader. You're not the head that you're called to be. Because spoiler alert, what Scripture tells us is this, you know, we jumping ahead a little bit, but it talks about wives submit to your husbands, right? We're familiar with this. We've heard it. Before that, the context matters, right? Before that, he actually says submit to one another. Man and woman, submit to one another. And then it goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands. But it gives the instruction for the husband to submit to God. So really, you're not the head of your house. God's the head of your life. And that's what matters as a man. That's what matters as a man. Who you're called to be is how well you submit, surrender to God. That's the true judge of a man. And understanding our role and how we lead and love and care, not just for our wives, but for people in the community, people around us, other men, in relationships, how we protect, how we lead, how we serve, how we worship, how we pray, how we act when we're at church, how we do these things. Do we show up to the men's Bible study? Do we show up? How do we do this? I am so tired of the modern day church where men don't worship. You're that afraid of intimacy? That's what it boils down to, why men sometimes struggle with that. Why we struggle? Because we're struggling with our feelings, struggle with intimacy. So worship is a hard thing because worship is an intimate moment with God. And you could tell me all you want, Brock, it's an attitude of the heart. You don't know how I'm worshiping. Yeah, you're right. It's an attitude of the heart. But I can judge a tree by its fruit. And I'm not trying to sit here and cast judgment. I've had to deal with this in my own life. Those that have been attending the church for how long? You used to see me worship. You used to see me worship. You had to clear a whole section for me. When I was worshiping back then. You see, there's a 10-foot radius because I'm jumping, I'm dancing, I'm spinning, I'm shouting, I'm spitting, I'm sweating. The layers are coming off. I mean, I kept my clothes on, but I was saying, okay. I realized that sounded funny for a second. I wasn't going full David. No. And then over time, I've had that question myself. What happened, Brock? What happened? Well, now I'm a little old, but the joints don't quite work. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that old. But But you see, how we lead and how we act as men is important in who God called us to be. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Then yes, here's one of the most practical ones Scripture teaches us. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives has denied the faith. Scripture talks about you do not provide for your family as a man, you are worse than the infidel, worse than a non-believer. This doesn't apply to maybe some of the older generation. Some generations, it changes over time, but young men and everything going on is you see a lot of stay-at-home dads. And I'm not to cast judgment, and I don't have a problem with women working. I don't have a problem with that. This day and age, it feels like you have to have two incomes. I mean, my car runs on premium gas only. You've seen gas prices. I might start walking. Probably not, but I'll pick up a side hustle before I start walking. No, I'm just kidding. Well, no. The importance of this, what God calls us to do, quit being lazy. Laziness is a sin. There's some sins that are so overlooked. Gluttony and laziness, these sins that we kind of forget about. But being lazy is a sin. How much scrolling are you doing? But now it's the girl's turn. We look at Scripture. I think we could all probably guess if we've been around the block where we can turn to look for the purpose of a woman and what a woman is to be like. It's Proverbs 31. Some of the attributes described in that section, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Wise, industrious, strong, compassionate, spiritually grounded, influential. You know what else? Proverbs 31. It talks about the woman who represents her man well, right? I can't remember off the top of my head if she represents him well at the gate, in the community. So women, hear it here first. Stop complaining about your husband. You ain't no Proverbs 31 woman if you're doing that. Well, it's just venting. I have a lot going on. I need to talk about it. Talk to God. Talk to God. Quit complaining about your husband. No man in here is perfect. I went through what he's supposed to do. Quit being a dictator. Quit being a soft soy boy beta, not providing for the family. Step up and be a man, a godly man. Absolutely. But women, it's not if he does that, then I do this. Because who you're really dishonoring when you do that is God. Because this isn't just about how am I going to honor my wife, how am I going to honor my husband. This is about God called you to this. And if you don't do it, you're sinning against him, not just showing your man what's up. It's the truth. To love unconditionally is your call as a man, but to respect your husband is your call as a woman. And submission. Wives, submit to your husbands. Slavery. Inferior. No. Submission that it talks about in the Bible, don't even Google the Webster definition. Because remember, this wasn't written in English. Look at what God says about submission. And submitting to one another as man and woman. But submission is the choice of honoring and respecting. Not forced. Not you're less than, so do this. It's the choice you make to honor God because he's called you to do that. The same way your husband is to submit to God. Submission is not some taboo, bad thing. If you're thinking like, and it gives you the goosebumps and you're like, I just don't agree. Then the culture in the world is ruling your heart. You need to pay attention to God's word and what he instructs us to live by. Because the man cannot lead the house without his strong rescuing force. But a woman, she's designed for things as well. And sometimes it's hard to do those things if the man is not being the man. And what I've seen through couples counseling over the years and what I've heard and talked to people about is, well, he wasn't being a leader, so I felt like I had to step up. Then they start playing the role of man. And then they wonder why they're in couples counseling. Because the further we get away from the way God designed this relationship, the worse it's going to get. Husbands, you better get a chair and put it on the corner of your roof. Sorry, the Bible tells us it's better to sit on a corner of a roof than be in a house with a nagging wife. By the way, don't ever quote that verse in an argument. Your boy had to learn from trial and error on that one. Oof, yeah, okay. So I'm preaching this from I've learned, but I'm not perfect. So I'm tying this a lot to marriage, but understand that in the modern day, feminism is teaching you, you could do everything he could do. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. You could do everything he could do. Go do it. Go do it. You weren't supposed to. And I got to be honest, you better pay attention to the world and what they tell you you should be doing, because the world's whole goal is to keep you from God. I'm not saying you do the exact opposite all the time, but there's a good chance it's a safe bet. But really, you'd know the answer if you just read his word. That's part of being submitted to him. I don't think the blame is pointed at any one individual gender. I think the reason why relationships fail is connected to what they call the crazy cycle. It's from some book. I haven't read the book. I had the cycle described to me. But a woman needs love and the man needs respect, right? They've done studies. A woman's brain and chemical reaction of fulfillment and value comes from when her husband says, I love you. The husband, same chemical reaction when they hear the words, thank you. Because as a provider, as a designed provider and protector, they just want to know they're doing a good job. It's what we do in unity together. The world wants to divide us. But we are to be in unity together, man and woman. But you each have a role to play, and we can't play each other's roles. This is all backwards. And it's why there's dysfunction in relationships and in marriages, but there's why there's dysfunction in the church. Because what women are called to do, well, they just want to do what the man's doing because they've been lied to. You've been lied to, saying, being told that you're inferior. Now, I think there was a point in time in our culture and society where misogyny was a real thing. And women were treated as inferior. And I think that's wrong. I don't think that's biblical at all, as I've demonstrated and read. Because in Titus, it tells us that older women are to teach and disciple, build healthy homes and generations. Judges talks about Deborah, a prophetess, judge, leader, wise counselor. Women aren't designed to just sit down, be quiet, barefoot in the kitchen, and give me the babies. That's not it. Because I've seen submission get taken the wrong way. I've seen it in relationships where submission was, okay, he's the leader, he makes the decision, I'll just sit back and be quiet. And those homes don't work out neither. Because you're not being the helper. There's a balance to this. And your role as a woman is important. Don't buy into the lie. See, in the very beginning, right, Adam and Eve. It wasn't Eve's fault, but she was targeted first. And you women in here, you better be protecting yourselves and guarding yourselves, because this the enemy is coming for you again with the apple of feminism. You better watch out. And I'm not standing up here as a man biased. Trust me, if this was a men-only room, this message would have been a lot different. And I would have used a lot different words, because you talk to men a little different. Anyway. But I'm warning you, just be careful. But guess what? Adam's supposed to be the leader. So it's not Eve's fault. He should have said, woman, drop it. Drop that right now. You heard what God said. But Adam didn't, in that moment, submit his household to God. You see the cycle that has stemmed from this. The man doesn't love the woman. Fine, then I'm not going to respect you. And then he doesn't feel respected, so then he doesn't put his fullness in the love. When he doesn't put the fullness in the love, then she's not putting her fullness into the respect. And then the crazy cycle starts. I want you to tell you right now, as a man, it's your job to get off. That's part of being a leader through sacrifice. Sacrificing myself. Well, I'm not being respected. Sacrifice your little justice moment. You're not here to justify yourself. You're here to justify her, the way that Christ justified the church. The roles of man and woman have to be according to God's word, because two are better than one. His word tells us this. Galatians 3:28. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one under Christ Jesus. This doesn't erase distinction, but it erases the superiority and inferiority. You both have a role to play. And you can't, one can't be one without the other. It's a symbiotic relationship. So stop buying into the world and into the culture. And I challenge you over the coming weeks to deep dive into God's word of what your role as a woman or a man really is. I couldn't share it all with you today, but I'll get you started. Do that and watch how your marriage changes. You're going to have to rearrange some things. But men, study what leadership actually is. Women, find out what a helper is. It's not someone who nags and mothers. A strong rescuing force is not, despite what Sigmund Freud thought, we didn't want to marry our moms. I love my mom. But yeah, I married Naomi because, man, smoke show. That's not the only reason. Sorry. Not the only reason. But there's lots of reasons. And yeah, it's her birthday today, turning 30. She's all worried. I'm old now. I'm like, what does that say about me? And she's like, well, you've been old. I'm like, wow. All right. But really, the last thing I'll say is this. I'll wrap it up with this. Is you got to figure this out. Because the way the enemy is going to win, he doesn't win, mind you, but the way the enemy is going to cause chaos and ruin things, you already see it. You already see it right now happening in America, in our culture, is he ruins families. And if we as men and women can't figure it out individually, as a man, who you're supposed to be, as a woman, who you're supposed to be, according to God's word, then when you get married, it doesn't fix it. It perpetuates the problem. And then you invite kids in, and now you get the culture that we have. You get the problems that we have. But you want to see that shift? You want to see that dynamic change? We get back to the way God orchestrated things and called us to be. And it takes a whole lot of grace and love and mercy for ourselves and for the other.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.